ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్యం నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదిరయేత్. నష్టప్రాయేషు అపత్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతీరుత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికి. వి రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ క్యాంటో 1 చాప్టర్ 19 టెక్స్ట్ 32 ది అపియరెన్స్ ఆఫ్ శుకదేవ గోస్వామి. పరీక్షదువాచ అహో అద్య వయం బ్రహ్మన్ సత్సేవ్యాః క్షత్రబంధవః కృపయాతీతి రూపేణ భవద్భిస్తీర్థ కాః కృతాః. ప్లీజ్ రిపీట్. పరీక్షిత్ ఉవాచ అహో అద్య వయం బ్రహ్మన్ సత్సేవ్యాః క్షత్రబంధవః కృపయాతీతిరూపేణ భవద్భిస్తీర్థః తీర్థకాః కృతాః. పరీక్షిత్ ఉవాచ అహో అద్య వయం బ్రహ్మన్ సత్సేవ్యాః క్షత్రబంధవః కృపయాతీతిరూపేణ భవద్భిస్తీర్థకాః కృతాః. పరీక్షిత్ ఉవాచ అహో అద్య వయం బ్రహ్మన్ సత్సేవ్యాః క్షత్రబంధవః కృపయాతీతిరూపేణ భవద్భిస్తీర్థకాః కృతాః. మాతజీస్, లేడీస్, పరీక్షిత్ ఉవాచ. ద ఫార్చునేట్ మహారాజ పరీక్షిత్ సెడ్, అహో ఆ అద్య టుడే వయం వి బ్రహ్మన్ ఓ బ్రాహ్మణ సత్సేవ్యాః ఎలిజిబుల్ టు సర్వ్ ద డివోటీ క్షత్ర the ruling class, bandavah, friends, Krapaya, by your mercy, Atithi Rupena, in the manner of a guest, Bhavad Bihi, by your good self, Tirthakaha, qualified for being places of pilgrimage, Krataha, done by you. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation, the fortunate King Parikshit said, O Brahmana, by your mercy only you have sanctified us, making us like unto places of pilgrimage, all of your presence here as my guest. All by your presence here as my guest. By your mercy, we who are but unworthy royalty become eligible to serve the devotee. Please repeat this. The fortunate King Parikshit said, O Brahmana, by your mercy only you have sanctified us, making us like unto places of pilgrimage, all by your presence here as my guest. By your mercy, we who are but unworthy royalty, become eligible to serve the devotee. Purport, saintly devotees like Shukadeva Goswami generally do not approach worldly enjoyers, especially those in royal orders. Maharaja Pratap Rudra was a follower of Lord Chaitanya, but when he wanted to see the Lord refused to see him because he was a king. For a devotee who desires to go back to Godhead, two things are strictly prohibited: worldly enjoyers and women. Therefore, devotees of the standard of Shukadeva Goswami are never interested in seeing kings. Maharaj Parikshit was, of course, a different case. He was a great devotee, although a king, and therefore Shukadeva Goswami came to see him in his last stage of life. Maharaj Parikshit, out of his devotional humility, felt himself an unworthy descendant of his great Kshatriya forefathers, although he was as great as his predecessors. The unworthy sons of the royal orders are called Kshatra Bandavaha, as the unworthy sons of the Brahmanas are called Dvija Bandhus or Brahma Bandhus. Maharaj Parikshit was greatly encouraged by the presence of Shukadeva Goswami. He felt himself sanctified by the presence of the great saint whose presence turns any place into a place of pilgrimage. Om Agyana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamakhyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Kauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Chunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Jaya Pataka Samyutta Namine Namo Chari Bhava Nitaita Kopadayane Gaura Katadamadaya Nagara Gramadarine. We are reading a very dramatic portion of the Bhagavatam, wherein Shukadeva Goswami is making his dramatic appearance in front of Parikshit Maharaj and all the great sages who are assembled to hear from him. Everybody knows by his looks, by his behavior, his stance, and by his bodily symptoms, that he is a very great personality. He is only 16 years old, and he is taking a seat that is offered to him. Parikshit Maharaj is the king of the world, not just king of some small province, not king of a small kingdom, a country, a nation, or the world, the whole universe. So he is such a powerful personality. To occupy such a position and be successful till the end of life, a person really has to be very, very advanced, very broad-minded, and very intelligent, very powerful, and has to have the help and sanction and the empowerment of the Lord. Otherwise, he cannot do this. If you want to do a very big service for the Lord, you have to be a great devotee, completely dependent on the Lord. The more we are dependent on the Lord, the more we have declared ourselves as dependent on the Lord, the more we can actually render service to humanity. When we think that we are doing everything, and when we have this great feeling that Hankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate, I am the doer, then your service will reduce lesser and lesser because you are not qualified to do. So you must understand, Maharaja Parikshit, when he is such a great personality, fit to be the king for the entire population of the universe, you must understand what an expansive personality he must be, internally and externally. And he's showing that being able to renounce everything and go to the bank of the Ganges and receive all these sages and receive Shukadeva Goswami, give, offer him a seat and very humbly petition him, what should I do? I have been cursed to die within 7 days. What is the best thing for a person to do, especially when he is ready to die? These are amazing questions. And Parikshit Maharaj is glorifying Shukadeva Goswami. And here it is titled, "The Fortunate King Parikshit Said." In what way is he fortunate? He just lost everything he has. He just gave up his kingdom, his treasury, his wife, his children, his relatives, his friends. And he has come just very skimpily clothed to the bank of the Ganges but nothing with him. In what way is he fortunate? Obviously, it doesn't mean that he has hit a lottery. Obviously, it doesn't mean that he just got, you know, 10 BMWs. It obviously doesn't mean that he got just some great, you know, wonderful position somewhere. None of these things are counted as fortune here. What's the great fortune? That he has been able to get the darshan of Shukadeva Goswami. Ordinary materialistic people won't understand, come on, how is it fortunate? That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains, what does fortune really mean? What does fortune really mean? Depending on your desires, where you are placed, certain things you value. And when you possess and get those things, you are fortunate, you feel. You see, for a person who is a strict follower of the rules and regulations of the Vedic literature, for him to do the austerities, to do the yajna, homa, tapasya, and then petition some demigod to give him some material facility and go through all that pain, and when he gets that, he thinks, I am really a Bhagyavan. I am very fortunate. I got a wonderful son. I am most fortunate. I got a wonderful daughter. I am most fortunate. I got a good job. I'm most fortunate. So all by the blessings of so-and-so. That's why I'm going to that temple regularly. I become fortunate. Because that is what he wants. That's what he thinks is the life success. This is called karma unmukha sukhi. Means I do my work, I get my fruit. I do my work, I get my fruit. A fruit worker, when he gets his fruit for the work he does, he thinks he is very fortunate. But a jnani, person who is in knowledge, will look at him and say, what's the use of that? I don't think that's the least bit fortunate. Because anyway you're going to die. Your wife will leave you, your son will leave you, your wealth will leave you, you will leave your body. What's the use of thinking that's fortunate? That's not really fortunate. Fortunate means achieving Brahman. Brahma Sukha. Then there is complete, unceasing happiness. Because I don't have to take birth again, I don't have to do this again, I'm just Brahma Sayujyam, I merge into the Supreme Brahman. That is real fortune. Because I am forever blissful. Atma triptascha manavaha. Atma santushtaha. Realizing the spiritual principle, realizing the understanding that I am spirit soul. That is really fortune. He is jnana unmukha sukhi. He is thinking that is fortune. There is a third fortune, which is really the fortune. Because this jnani also, after some time, after a long time of enjoying this Brahman, I am spirit soul, aham brahmasmi, I am spirit, I have nothing to do with matter. All these janmas, I struggled inside different bodies. There was birth, there was old age, death, disease, and it went through the cycle and cycle and said, I had enough of that, now I have no more bodies. No more birth, no more death, I am simply floating. I am Brahman. But then it is mentioned, Ye anye arvinda vimukta manina tvai ashtabhavad avishuddha buddhayah. This is avishuddha buddhi, not purified intelligence. Why? Because in that situation, he will not be able to sustain himself for too long because he has not yet developed love for the Lord. He is busy with himself. Patanti adaha, he will fall down from there. Because he doesn't have activity, he doesn't have relationship, he doesn't have love for the Lord, he doesn't have persons whom he can cultivate an interest and relationship with. A spirit soul cannot live like that alone and exist like that alone. It's not his nature. So he will fall down again into the material world and occupy a very exalted position. Because he can relate with people. So that also is not really fortune. Because he'll come back. Bhakti unmukha sukhi. When a person gets the seed of bhakti in his heart. When he is aroused inside. I must do something. I must do a little bit of service to the Lord. I must actually bring a flower to the deity. I like to put a little money. I like to clap my hands and dance in front of the Lord and glorify Him and say how merciful He is. I like to hear Krishna Katha, Bhagavat, glorification of the Lord. I like to render some seva to a Vaishnava. I like to offer myself manasa, vacha, diya, karmana through my intelligence, through my words, through my wealth, through my mind, through anything. Some seva for the Lord. He gets that feeling that this is what I'm supposed to do. This is what makes me very happy. That is real fortune. And that will come to you only when you contact another devotee of the Lord. It's a devotee of the Lord who is completely absorbed in glorifying the Lord because he has developed devotion for the Lord. In his association, you get the seed of bhakti in you. That is the greatest fortune because that seed is an eternal seed. From that grows your bhakti. So anybody who has got love for God at or the beginning of it, he is most fortunate. Because that is what the spirit soul is. He is eternally a servant of God. Jivera Swarupa Hoi Krishnera Nitya Das. And therefore he gets an opportunity to do seva for the Lord. That is the greatest fortune. So Prabhupada made a society wherein people can contact devotees, come to the temple, take a book, read, hear, chant Krishna's name and become fortunate. Our business is to make people fortunate. How? By giving them devotion. Our business normally means making wealth, normally means making money, having a bank balance, having material things, a lot of possessions, feeling proud about it and walking on the road, swinging your hand, I am worth so many crores, what the hell are you doing anyway, what do you have with me, I am most fortunate. You just have to work hard to be fortunate. You are just a bum who doesn't work hard, you are not fortunate, get lost. With that feeling, that we think is important. It's not actually very important. Bhakti is very rare. It's not so easily available. It's only available by association with the devotee. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj is being titled here as the fortunate King Parikshit. Right? The fortunate King Parikshit is asking, O Brahmana, by your mercy only, is very clear how I have become fortunate. He is telling Shukadeva Goswami, by your mercy only you have sanctified us. Just by your appearance, by seeing you and by offering you a little service of a seat, I am going to ask you a question and I can see that I have already become fortunate because of your association. This is so wonderful. These are all words of persons who have great knowledge, great experience, great realization in the world. They have dealt with so many different types of people, being a king. All sections of society they deal with. And they have various experience giving judgments, training people, you know, making sure they have discipline, leading them on the path of dharma. They have various different questions that they have answered. So he is saying that you have sanctified us, making us like unto places of pilgrimage, all by your presence here as my guest. Tirthi kurvanti tirthani swantasthena gatabratah. That means a person who carries the Lord in his heart and he gives the Lord to others, gives them remembrance of the Lord, gives them glories of the Lord, gives them chanting of the holy name. Such persons are themselves called tirthas. Because wherever they go, they are mobile tirthas. Wherever they go, it's a place of pilgrimage because people crowd around them and they can hear about the Lord. They are mobile carriers of the Lord. And wherever they go, they give people devotion. They inspire people to become devoted to the Lord. So, it is mentioned that here, Parikshit Maharaj is telling, you are a place of pilgrimage yourself. And by your presence here, you have sanctified. So we all feel that we are sitting in a pilgrimage center and we can feel the vibration and the force of it. You go to a holy place, you go to Vrindavan, you go to Mayapur, you go to Jagannath Puri, you go to the bank of the Ganges, you can feel the difference in the atmosphere, in the earth, in the feeling. If you are sensitive to it, I mean, of course, you are drinking every day, 10 pegs in the night, going to sleep, getting in the morning and getting stoned, smoking or something like that every day. You may not feel very sensitive to all these things. And you may walk on the bank of the Ganges, it's very dirty. You know, you may think something different. But if you are a little sensitive and you are a little pious and you are not very sinful, you will immediately feel the presence of Ganges. Ganga Mayi's presence you'll feel the presence of the Lord in a holy place like Vrindavan as soon as you step in. So, the presence of a devotee of the Lord also makes that place like that. It vibrates with a spiritual potency. So Shukadeva Goswami's presence immediately is filling the place. It's already the bank of the Ganges, but his coming has made a big difference, and Parikshit has noted it. And he's saying, your presence has sanctified us, sanctified this place. By your mercy, we who are but unworthy royalty become eligible to serve the devotee. This is the meaning of fortune. Fortune means normally, in normal sense we know, fortune means something that comes to you without you actually endeavoring for it. He's a very fortunate guy. He's not working hard like me, but he just get all this wealth and that good position. He's very bhagyavan. He's a fortunate fellow. This is how we say, you know, one Canada, ni romba bhagyavan. You got a nice house, father, job, a nice family, and this and that. Now we look at some people like that in the material world and think, nice, fortunate fellow. That's what we normally say. But real fortune means having the association of devotees. Real fortune means being able to chant Krishna's name, hear Bhagavat, take a little prasadam, and understand and hear about Krishna. This is really fortune. And here Parikshit Maharaj, he is putting himself in a very humble situation and recognizing that I have become fortunate only by you. Unworthy royalty. Kshatra Bhandava. He doesn't call himself a Kshatriya, although he is a topmost Kshatriya. He's calling himself Kshatriya Bandhu. This is a derogatory term. When a person is born in a Brahmana family and he is qualified to be a Brahmana and be in the mode of goodness, read the scripture, understand the truth, understand the reality of existence, explain it to others, yajana, yajana, patana, patana, dana, parigraha, he does all these things, then he is considered to be a Brahmana. But when one is born in such a family, such a company, but doesn't take advantage and doesn't care to be doing those Brahminical activities, and is attracted out of his passion to be passionate, to be influenced by tamoguna and do certain type of sinful activities, then we call him a fallen Brahmana. Maybe born in a Brahmana family was unfit to be a Brahmana. So derogatory is called Brahma Bandhu. No, he's not a Brahmana, he's a friend of a Brahmana. It's a very sophisticated way of insulting a fellow. He is a Brahma Bandhu. Born in a Brahmana family, but a very good Brahma Bandhu, which means, you know, he's a friend of a Brahmana. It's a derogatory way of saying he's not a Brahmana, he's become a friend of a Brahmana, which means it could be anything. It's a nice way of saying he is not a Brahmana. Right? Nice way of saying he is not a Brahmana. So he is Kshatra Bandhava. I am not a Kshatriya. I am just a friend of a Kshatriya. Means he is himself titling himself in this derogatory way in front of Shukadeva Goswami. I am not even a proper Kshatriya who protects people, puts them on the path of Dharma and does good things to them. But still you have chosen to give me your mercy, your association. The association of devotees should never be taken as something for granted, for given. I can easily, as I got enough people, should make it commonplace, ordinary. In the outside world, you go, you have to associate with all sorts of people. And you will miss the association of devotees very much. For those who go every day and deal with in their office, with clients, with other types of company, especially if you have enjoyed the company of devotees and Harinam, Sankirtan and Bhagavatam and Prasadam and festivals, you know that you are waiting to run back and get back to our household, worship the Lord, chant Krishna's name, read the Bhagavat, and be in the company of devotees makes you feel very comfortable. makes you feel very comfortable. So association should not be minimized. It's very valuable. It's what sustains our God consciousness, sustains our bhakti, sustains the growth. Steadily you will grow. You should never minimize association. You should never mundanize a spiritual association you have. The mind is always making us look at Vaishnavas in an ordinary way. The mind is so, you know, such low class that it will even tear down anybody's position to the lowest so that you may not have that association. It will use moral, ethical principles. It will use material principles. It will use all sorts of comparisons to put down somebody who actually is very valuable to you, who actually can give you association, make you fortunate. Because it's a materialistic mind. And we are under the control of the materialistic mind. And with that materialistic mind, we gauge everything, including the Bhagavatam, including what we are hearing today. Is it so? Oh? Who said so? This is what's running on inside our head. The mind has got, like I said, an infinite capacity to mundanize everything that is spiritual, everything that is devotional. That's a habit. We will run it through the mind, thinking, feeling, willing, and then come out completely crushed. Finished. I have made a judgment. This is not like this, not like this, not like this, not like this. Throw it out. This is a great danger. So that same mind, Arche Vishnu Shiladir Gurushu Naramati Vaishnave Jati Buddhi, will look at the deity of the Lord and think, ah, it's just made of wood. It's made of metal. It's a stone. Why are you taking this so seriously? Why are they donning it with garlands and, you know, garments and doing all these things? Just a piece of stone. What's wrong with you guys? This is mind. It will repeatedly come and tell you. That's why the Shastra says, don't go too close to the deity, don't go too close to the guru, don't go too close to a Vaishnava whom you have in veneration and awe. Because your mind will mundane, that's all. I thought there is a halo around him. I went very close, it stinks. And I thought his feet will be above the ground. It's not. It's just an ordinary guy who walks on two legs on the floor. So what? He eats the same food that I eat. How can he be a special person? He breathes the same way. Nothing special about him. Mundanize it. Gurushu Naramati, think of the spiritual person, spiritual master, as good as an ordinary person. Vaishnave Jati Buddhi, looking at a devotee of the Lord of Vaishnava, say, oh, he's an American, I know him, how can he be a devotee? Oh, he's a gounder from so-and-so place. Yeah, he's just from that family. How can he ever be a nice guy? He's a gounder. He's a Naidu. He's a that fellow. He's a this fellow, Christian, Muslim. In this way, the mind mundanizes. Dangerous. So also when we are in the association of devotees, we may sometimes see the devotees performing certain activities as a service to the Lord, managing the institution, dealing with money, raising funds for the building of the temple, making a scheme, doing all these things, then we'll say, ah, it's just an ordinary management fellow. I remember once, one very rich man, he was friendly, he come here all the time. He would tell me, see, what's the difference between you? After he became very familiar with me and I was teaching him Bhagavad Gita and asking questions, and after 1 or 2 years, I understood one thing. There's no difference between you and me. I said, yeah, there's no difference actually. Because you're doing many of the things that I do. Same things you do. I am involved in raising funds for you, for the temple. I am involved in promoting your books, Bhagavad Gita, everything, which you are also doing. We are discussing these things. And what's the difference between you and me? I said, yes, it's very difficult for you to find out. That is the difference between you and me.
The difference between you and me is, I told him flat. Difference between you and me, everything that I do, including passing stool, urinating, taking a bath, eating food, promoting the Bhagavad Gita book, or doing all these things, which you think is my profession, and my profession is trading with textiles and all those things. But what is my intention and what is your intention? And whom do you do it for and whom do I do it for? That is the only difference. I sent him thinking. In this world, you can never make any big difference between a Vaishnava. He is doing everything for the Lord. Nothing for me. He is not enjoying anything out of it. He is working very hard and he is not enjoying the fruit of it. He is offering everything to the Lord. So that people may come, hear Bhagavad Gita, so that people may come and they may be able to have darshan of the Lord, so that people may come and they may be able to get a little prasadam, so that in their mind a little appreciation of the Lord will come. This is what I am working for. It's not anything to do with profit for myself. So at that point I told him that, be careful, don't think like this. Very dangerous thinking. I am not equal to you. At the same time, I am willing to do any seva for you, so that you may improve in your spiritual life. So we tend to mundanize even our relationships. And we should be very careful. Here, Parikshit Maharaj is taking precaution. You can see in his words, three things I noticed. I am fortunate. Your presence has made me fortunate. I am actually Kshatra Bandhava, useless member of the Kshatriya race. And you, by your mercy, I have situated myself properly. Why should, is he artificially praising him? Is he artificially putting himself in a humble situation? But he's such a great intelligent king, why would he do that? He is very cautious about preserving his own mentality, his attitude, so that his spiritual life will grow. He's a very intelligent person spiritually. He's making it very clear, you are the person I am depending on. I am questioning you, learning from you. I don't want to spoil my spiritual chances by my mind taking me for a ride. I want to be very clear who you are, what's my relationship with you. You are my guru. You may be a 16-year-old boy. Actually, it's more difficult to have a 16-year-old boy, Shukadeva Goswami, all naked, tell him you are my guru, you are everything for me. On the first instance, nobody will do that. But Parikshit Maharaj already knows who he is. Just by the symptoms that he gives. So he's putting himself in a clear, safe position. I am nobody. You are everybody. I may be the king of the universe. Doesn't matter. You are far more qualified. And you can give me something I don't have, Krishna. Therefore you are superior. And therefore I am going to say. He's programming himself. Right from the beginning. This is what is my position. And I stick to it. Not a victim of the vagaries of my mind. Telling me, judging you, everything. This is what it is. Anchoring it first. Then I hear from you. Then I question you. This is to your advantage. When you have a superior, when you have a guru, when you have a Vaishnava, you must always put yourself in that position. And then you are very safe. Then you are very safe. Then knowledge will work towards you. And you will be benefited. And you will advance yourself. So these are very wonderful things that Parikshit Maharaj is doing. He's not just a fool. He's not just a fool. So here Prabhupada is mentioning that two things, what is that? Maharaj Parikshit, he was a great devotee, although a king, and therefore Shukadeva Goswami came to see him in his last stage of life. Maharaj Parikshit, out of the devotional humility, felt himself an unworthy descendant of his great Kshatriya forefathers. Although he was a great descendant of his predecessors, the unworthy sons of the royal orders are called Kshatra Bandhava, as the unworthy sons of Brahmanas are called Dvijabandhus. Maharaj Parikshit was greatly encouraged by the presence of Shukadeva Goswami. He felt himself sanctified by the presence of the great saint whose presence turns any place into a place of pilgrimage. Lots of lessons to learn. How
even a great personality like Parikshit Maharaj instantly recognizes his fortune, instantly recognizes this person is going to make me fortunate. I become a recipient of the mercy of Krishna. This person is a representative of Krishna. Krishna has sent him here to me, to make me fortunate, to make me hear from him. And he instantly recognizes everything that Parikshit does, we discussed, is so instant and so correct decision. Kim karmeti, kim akarmeti, kavayopyatra mohita. What to do and what not to do, even the great learned person become confused, Arjuna. Tatteham pravakshyami yajnyatva mokshayate ashubhat. Now I am telling you that, giving you that information by which you will be relieved from this inauspicious situation because you can see what is right. To be able to know what is right, what is wrong and take decisions, you have to be specially empowered by the Lord, inspired by the Lord in the heart. And obviously, Parikshit Maharaj, from the beginning, we are seeing him taking decisions. Right from the decision he took to put the dead snake around Samika Rishi's neck, which ordinarily is a bad decision, till the point when he is cursed by the son of that Samika Rishi, and then he decides, I'm not going to retaliate. I'm just going to leave everything and go to the bank of the Ganges. It's a very unusual decision for a Kshatriya to take. To take a position of humility when he is attacked. Okay. This is fortune coming to me. This is the work of the Lord. He instantly recognizes, he retracts, and he doesn't retaliate. He just leaves everything and goes to the bank of the Ganges. And there again, he is getting all the sages and he is asking all of them, what should I do? Taking their good counsel. Because of this attitude of being surrendered to the plan of the Lord, Krishna is sending him Sukadeva Goswami, pinnacle of perfection. He is going to speak the whole Bhagavatam and he is going to sit and hear it for 7 days continuously. No food, no sleep. 24 hours Bhagavat Katha. He is able to hear it. Shukadeva Goswami is able to speak it. Perfect match of guru and disciple arranged by the Lord, and the whole world has benefited from that conversation. Whole world has benefited from that conversation. So you can just put ourselves in that position, see how controlled a person Parikshit is and how we can become uncontrolled. Even if it is Bhagavatam class, how we need to control ourselves from falling asleep, control ourselves from our vagaries of the mind going here and there. Oh, I know that. I heard that before. It's coming in again. Let's think of something else. And then your mind goes here and there. And then it's a real tussle. And Parikshit Maharaj, you can see, is all eyes, all ears for 24 hours a day for 7 days. He must be really into it. He must be really determined. And he must really be absorbed. Not only determined, it's beyond a determination. Absorbed, eager to hear about Krishna. That's the meaning of being fortunate. You're fortunate means you're eager to hear about Krishna. You can stay awake. You're not very fortunate means not able to do it. We're not able to do it. That is ill fortune. Therefore, even as devotees of the Lord, we can become fortunate and also be unfortunate. If we don't, it's not an automatic process. If we don't put our energy, if we don't control our mind, if we don't put a practice, you see, into controlling the mind, controlling our thoughts, steering ourselves properly. You know, Krishna tells Arjuna that practice. Abhyasa enatu kaunteya vairagyena cha grihyate.
being in a subtle body internally, very actively oriented towards practicing and bringing yourself to the point of fixing your mind. This is a process, and Parikshit Maharaj is excelling in that. He is excelling in that, and he is taking maximum advantage of Shukadeva Goswami's presence, the sages' presence, and the bank of the Ganges. He is all out to get benefit for himself, spiritual benefit, so that he can go back to Godhead. Om Tat Sat Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.